Today's the second Sunday after the Epiphany. The epistle is taken from St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, having different gifts according to the grace that is given us, either prophecy, to be used according to the rule of faith, or ministry, in ministering, or he that teaches in doctrine, he that exhorts in exhorting, he that gives with simplicity, he that rule with carefulness, he that show mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Hating what that which is evil, cleaving to that which is good, loving one another with the charity of brotherhood, in honor, preventing one another, in carefulness, not slothful, in spirit fervent, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, instant in prayer, communicating to the necessities of the saints, pursuing hospitality. Bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice, weep with them that weep. Being of one mind, one towards another, not minding high things, but consenting to the humble. We stand up to hear the most holy gospel is taken from St. John. At that time, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there, and Jesus also was invited, and his disciples, to the marriage. And the wine failing, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what is it to me and to thee? My hour is not yet come." His mother said to the waiters, "Whatsoever he shall say to you, do ye." Now there were set there before six water pots of stone, according to the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three measures apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And Jesus said to them, "Draw out now and carry to the chief steward of the feast." And they carry it. And when the chief steward has tasted the water made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the waiters knew who had drawn the water, the chief steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man at first set forth good wine, and when men had well drunk, they that wish is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now." This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The words of the most holy gospel. And the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. So dear friends, we are going to meditate on those important points in this feast, in this gospel, the gospel of today, and the epistle also. The first point I want to meditate upon you is about the Blessed Virgin Mary, her role as mother, as an intercessor, mediatrix of all graces. It's a very important point here we have to meditate. So, when first the Blessed Virgin Mary is moved towards the stress and the problem that this matrimony has to face. So this couple in that feast, they are the wine was running out. So the first point that we have to meditate is the Blessed Virgin Mary. She watched our necessities, our needs. So this is the example of this feast, this event. She's moved to compassion just by looking at the needs of this couple. And she decides to help them out. So that's the first point. She is watching upon us day and night. She knows our needs. She's a mother full of goodness and mercy. So it's a great encouragement. We cannot be fearful or fearing about anything at all. You know, sadness or fear should be out of our life just by the thought of having the Blessed Virgin Mary with us. Because God has given to her the all almighty power of God through her intercession. So the second point I want to meditate is the Blessed Virgin Mary said to our Lord, they had no wine, which is very simple. So she presents to our Lord the need of the couple in that moment. So the problem, she presents the problem to him. I want to meditate about the answer of our Lord. Our Lord said to her, "Woman, what is it to me and to thee? My hour is not yet come." But nevertheless, Our Lady said to the waiters, "Whatsoever he shall say to you, you do ye." So this answer of our Lord is mysterious. Yes. For the common eye will seem that he's denying his willingness to perform the miracle. But no, it's not at all. Because by the answer of the Blessed Virgin Mary, by saying to the waiters, "Do whatsoever he shall say to you," St. Augustine and St. Ambrose said, she understood, knowing our Lord Jesus Christ herself very well, what she understood by the attitude of our Lord was that he's going to perform the miracle indeed. So the importance of this point is the following. The Blessed Virgin Mary knows the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. She knows him. Something that we don't know. We have very shallow knowledge of God in comparison to the Blessed Virgin Mary. She had been living with our Lord for 30 years already. She knew his heart, his intentions, his doctrine. Even if the answer of our Lord is mysterious for us, for her this meant, yes, I will do the miracle. It's very important because our holy religion is divine, is infinite in depth. The mysteries are divine, and we don't grasp many things. It's a fact. We don't know the explanation of many things. You notice what St. Paul says in the epistle of today. No minding high things. So we should not mind high things, because God doesn't want to give us many things in knowledge, in understanding. He wants us to trust through the virtue of hope, the Blessed Virgin Mary, in this case. So even if we don't understand the answer of our Lord, she understood that, yes, he is going to perform the miracle. It's the beauty. It's the beauty of this event. And with a very secure and very hopeful and firm manner, she said to the waiters, he's going to help you. So do whatever he's going to tell you to do. And when our Lord said yes, he said, he told to the waiters, "Fill the water spots with water to the brim," and after he said, "Draw out now, and carry it to the chief steward." So immediately our Lord performed it. According to St. Augustine, our Lord was speaking to the disciples that it's not his hour yet. because his will is to be done always. But when it's a question of necessities, or the Blessed Virgin Mary asking something, or our necessities as his children, always God will be available to help us. This is the meaning of this event. So his hour for our necessities, for our prayers, through the Blessed Virgin Mary, always he's available. He will not place conditions. This is why he performed the miracle of the wedding of Cana, the transubstantiation of water into wine. It's something it's a great consolation for us to have the Blessed Virgin Mary, who intercedes for us. He knows the heart of the Blessed of the Child Jesus. He knows our needs, and she's placed there as an intercessor to help us. It's a great joy. It's a tremendous consolation. And also, the other thing I want to meditate with you is about the matrimony. Because it's a keystone of our society, of our fight. And according to Our Lady of Good Success in Quito, Ecuador, out of the seven sacraments, we will be, by the Novus Ordo, modify and falsify and profanated. So the sacrament we will be more profanated of all will be the matrimony, the sacrament of matrimony. And we see that before our eyes. Even if the other sacraments have been, completely, tremendously profanated, the one is most, having more defiled and profanated has been the sacrament of matrimony. And St. Augustine said that the very presence of our Lord in this marriage tell us first that he's present to bless matrimonies which are done according to his will, no? In the church, by the church, with the purpose of having children. He's there. He will be there even to ease the necessities, whatever necessities. And what we have to explain, according to St. Paul, what I want to explain is, St. Paul said that the matrimony is a figure of the union between our Lord Jesus Christ and his church. It's what we call the communion of saints, and we say with sanctifying grace, the church and our Lord Jesus Christ share the same life, the divine life. We share the divine life through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, his most precious blood. We see in a great degree, in a perfect degree, we see it in Holy Communion at Mass also. You notice at Mass, the drop of water is united. At Mass, before the offertory of the most precious blood, which will be the most precious blood, so in the ritual, we put a drop of water into the chalice. That drop of water represents, the tears and sufferings of the Blessed Virgin Mary and all the saints and each one of us, our sacrifices. So this drop of water is mixed with the most precious blood, with the wine, which will become the most precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and together will be offered to God the Father, his most precious blood. Means the sacrifice of our Lord is united to our sacrifice, to the tears of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and together as a one sacrifice offered to God the Father. It's one of the mystical meanings of the water turning into blood, into wine, which is the blood of our Jesus Christ. It's a symbol of the blood of our Jesus Christ. At the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, our sacrifice, our cross, is turned into the most precious blood, because they are united at Mass as a one sacrifice. This is matrimony. Matrimony is to be united as a drop of water with Christ and offer to God to, as a sacrifice to have children for God. Very powerful. So it's a union of love in sacrifice on the cross, mixed and united to our Lord Jesus Christ as one matrimony with Christ to have children for God. This is matrimony. It's the reason why it cannot be dissolved by any human means. It's the reason why there is no divorce. There is no annulment. It's the reason why our Lord has to be enthroned in a house where a matrimony has just happened. And the consecration of the family to the Most Holy Family, and each one of them to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and the Heart of St. Joseph. Because this union is in Christ, with Christ. Something very high. And because the first model of this matrimony is the Holy Family, the Most Holy Family, and the virginity of Our Lady and St. Joseph, is telling matrimonies, families, that chastity in a matrimony is essential. Yes. In order not to stain the reality that Christ has been united, the matrimony, and Christ is there in His presence, sanctifying the matrimony and the thoughts, actions, and plans, and the children. Our Lord is blessing them the whole time. This is why the house has to be oriented towards virtue, fighting sin, and obviously in chastity, complete chastity. And having said that, also enter into the picture the obligatoriness of modesty and continence. Because precisely, you notice the veil that women use at the chapel and at Mass, because they are in the presence of God, is to hide and to protect the sacredness of the event of their temple, to hide what is purely human, so the beauty and the distractions, in order to, with this veil, protect what is sacred from the human. So it's a separation between what is sacred from the human, purely human. And precisely the shirt, the skirt, is a veil. It's like a veil for the body to separate the profane, which is the world, the eyes of people, from the sacred, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is the body. Especially a woman who is Mary, her body only can be seen by God and by the husband, no? Because the sacredness is a sanctuary of life, the body of a married woman. And modesty is essential to separate the sacred from the profane. It's the reason why in a chapel you have, in a normal chapel, you have doors and windows to protect the sacredness of the place from the world. That's the reason Yosemite has been telling you also that it's no good to have a line streaming masses alive, because it's like opening a window between the sacredness of the mass and the world. Yes, it's live streaming is no good. No. But also, having said that, if you notice a mass is a veil for the chalice. Only is that veil is taken away when the mass is going to, our Lord is going to start shedding His blood at the offertory. So the veil is precisely to cover that reality, the sacredness. And in the past, when someone was not yet baptized, has to go after the sermon and the creed before the offertory, has to go out, was not able to be present at the holy sacrifice, because he was preparing to receive the baptism. And with a baptism, we cannot receive sacraments. Baptism is the entrance of the sacraments. It's why The pale is not removed until the offertory, and the people has to go, those who are not, were not Catholics. That was the old custom, no? The old traditions. Even the inside the tabernacle, the ciborium has a veil also. Again, to separate something sacred, and in this case, the divinity of our Lord from the rest, something is degrees of degree, there are degrees of sacredness in the liturgy, in the sanctuary, on the altar even. So this is the degree of sacredness that we see in matrimony. So our Lord have been united in His blood, a couple. And the one who takes the decisions about how many children must be God Himself. Because if a couple decides to take decisions on those regards, that will mean to put away God and to take the decisions themselves, putting the cross away and our Lord together with the cross, and to profanate matrimony and to make it something human, for a human purpose, for a human decision, a human reasoning, for human feelings. As when someone abuses the matrimony for something else from the will of God, is precisely to profanate something sacred for something human, for something that man wants beyond the will of God, or above the will of God. So this is one something that we have to speak about these topics. Because love is in the matrimony is sacred. In such a way that whatever the husband does to the wife, do it to God also, to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And whatever the women do against the authority of his husband, he does it against Christ, against the authority of Christ. That is the reason why, if God forbid, the husband or wife want to separate, they separate also from Christ. And they will not be joining with Christ until they join again together. Because the matrimony is sacred. The matrimony is a union between three: Christ, husband, and wife. And this is a reality. And this is so we see the importance of seeing the children as the first end of matrimony, the importance of modesty, chastity, continence, and looking at the children as Christ on the house. They have to take care of the child Jesus. And also we see the necessity here in matrimonies to know well their doctrine, to have the faith alive and strong, firm, defending them, because they have to defend the child Jesus in their children against the wolves, against heresies, against errors, against bad friendships eventually, against the influence of the world. Also, we see the necessity here of banning all the worldliness of which could damage the family life. So from this principle comes all the other principles and consequences of how a family has to be ruled, a run, no? And also, but from this doctrine we can also, just to finish, to speak about engagement, no? When someone wants to get married, is when engagement starts, not to have a boyfriend and girlfriend. Has to be on view of matrimony. Precisely because matrimony is something sacred, it's a love of God to unite a couple in matrimony. When someone goes into engagement or to have a fiancé, has to be on view of that reality. This is the reason why the church doesn't allow very long friendship in between women and men. If they are not thinking about matrimony, the church doesn't want that friendship because it cannot be human. Because that courtiness and views of matrimony has to be, because it doesn't exist that kind of friendship outside matrimony. Only in view of matrimony cannot exist without being in view or towards matrimony. It's very dangerous because we'll be very human love. We'll become a human love and not divine love, united as friendship. That's the reason why the church will not allow more than 2 years, for example. I don't know how much, it depends upon the case, in this friendship, no? Friendship of love, no? So we can say more things about this topic, but just suffice for now to remember these principles in order to have a strong families and to strengthen our families and future families. Because it's why we don't have vocations. That's the reason why the church is not able to grow more, because family life has been profanated, trampled down, and abused, and twisted the meaning of matrimony. So matrimony has the main role to focus today. Matrimony, yes, to strengthen families. A future matrimony is also in views of vocations. Yes, and let's ask St. Joseph, the Blessed Virgin Mary, our Lord Jesus Christ, to help us to understand all these realities and to protect families more and more. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.